This is WCNO, listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
That you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I am Karen Hubbard, your host, and today, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I hope that the joy of the Lord is your strength as well. So welcome to the program. We're happy to have you with us, and I want to greet my two co-hosts, Nanette. I always have to try to remember your name.
Why is Nanette, that after all this time?
After all this time. I just draw a blank when I... See you there.
It's no Nanette. I think my name is a little complicated. I don't know, because it's usually Annette, Jeanette, you know, every other et, but Nanette is not really,
Nanette.
Or Nanette is not really common. So I think that's what happens.
Amen.
But good morning.
Yeah, good morning. And then our brother Sean O'Hay.
Good afternoon.
Every time. Every time, we still don't know why. I know, because you're light years ahead of us.
This is the day the Lord has made, and this is a time of his grace, so we're empowered to keep moving forward.
Amen. Amen. We have two very special guests with us this morning as well. We have Penny Cook.
Hello.
Good morning, Penny.
Good morning.
And Del Bates.
Good morning.
And for those of you that follow them on Facebook, they have their podcast, Seeds of Hope, with Del and Penny.
Yep.
And I guess you produce that up in Vero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we encourage you to follow them along. They'll be, you know, talking more about what they do. They're both authors, and we'll get into them in just a few minutes. The Lord, as I keep saying every week, the Lord had spoken to me when President Trump announced that May 17th was going to be a day of rededication of the country to God. Mm-hmm. And when he was at the National Prayer Breakfast. So this has been on the front burner for me, and God has a plan. And, you know, I just, excuse me, this morning, remember the old saying when we were in typing class, let me get this. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. And it's a famous, historically significant phrase often used for typing drills to practice using the full range of a keyboard. It was adapted by Charles Weller from an original similar phrase, come to the aid of their party. But this is the time for every American to rise up. Amen. And realize that we need to fight for our freedom. For if we don't fight for our freedom in this hour, then there's a good possibility that freedoms are going to be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy would say that this is not a Christian nation. The enemy would say that you can't talk about Jesus. The enemy would say that you cannot be a Christian and be involved in politics. Those are all things that the enemy has said. Mm-hmm. But I say to you that our history, the history of this nation, from the birth of the nation, America, has been strengthened and sustained by people of prayer. And the nation was founded by people that were seeking religious liberty. And we have to remember how our country was founded. And we have to do what we can to maintain what God has desired for this country. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to just give this little blurb that on May 17th, Americans from across the nation will gather on the National Mall for Rededicate 250, a once-in-a-lifetime faith event that celebrates America's 250th anniversary with a national jubilee of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. And as I said, President Trump at the National Prayer Breakfast says, on May 17th, we're inviting Americans from all across the country to come together on our National Mall to pray, give thanks, and rededicate America as one nation under God. And the day will begin at sunrise with worship and thanks and praise for how God has powerfully shaped our nation and our people for 250 years. The American people will be invited to remember the unmistakable hand of God at work in our life, to ask God's blessing for the next 250 years, and to solemnly rededicate our country as one nation under God. And I, as I had mentioned previously, over the last couple of months, I've been reading these different, I don't know what they call them, but there's an initiative, and it posted all the different calls to prayer and different things that have been done by the nation. It's under americapraise.com, and there's 10 or 12. For some reason, I don't have it right in front of me. But so I've been reading off each of these prayers. We did the embarkation of the pilgrims last week. We talked about the Cape Henry, and we've talked about a couple of the other things. And these are prayers and proclamations that were made before the founding of the country. So this morning I wanted to just talk about this one, which are government-issued calls to prayer from founding fathers and public leaders. From the earliest days of American independence, beginning in 1775, the Continental Congress issued a series of official proclamations calling for national days of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. Between 1775 and 1784, at least 15 such proclamations were formally adopted, often in response to military, political, or diplomatic developments. Beyond the actions of Congress, individual founding fathers incorporated prayer into public governance. John Hancock, as governor of Massachusetts, issued at least 22 formal prayer proclamations. Samuel Adams issued 7. These proclamations commonly called upon citizens to seek forgiveness, partake in fasting, express gratitude, and cultivate virtue in public and private life. The practice of government-issued calls to public prayer has been continued by presidents, governors, legislatures, and local officials across generations, reaffirming a tradition in which religious observance and civic life are mutually reinforcing rather than mutually exclusive. And below is a prayer that was adapted from Washington's circular letter to the states, which he wrote on June 8, 1783, as the commander-in-chief at his headquarters in Newburgh, New York. So he prayed, I now make it my earnest prayer that God would have the United States in his holy protection, that he would incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination in obedience to government, to entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another, for their fellow citizens of the United States at large, and particularly for their brethren who have served in the field. And finally, that he would most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion. And without an humble imitation of whose example in these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. Amen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is 1783, just shortly after we became a country. And these are prayers that we can hold on to and that the nation has held on to, I guess, all through these years. And it's very important that we remember what the past was and remember the prayers. I know for me that the May 17th deal, I just, you know, as I said when I first heard it, the Lord said that the words that President Trump speaks on that day, and I believe he'll make a proclamation. I don't know if one was already, he made one that they're going to be doing the event. But I believe he would make a proclamation on that day, and that he himself, my prayer is that he himself will read it, so that when he, as the leader of the nation, verbalizes that, then it will set in motion Amen. What can happen in this nation, and he Amen. Can release that blessing from the Lord onto the nation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my prayer for this whole thing on May 17th is that we will pray for the event, of course, mm-hmm. but also to pray for President Trump, that God will really apprehend his heart, and that he would make a proclamation mm-hmm. and that he would read the proclamation verbatim to set the blessing over yes. the country.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. So, all right. So now, let me introduce you guys, Del and Penny. Again, Seeds of Hope podcast. Do you guys do that once a week? Or?
Yes.
Yep. Once a week. Okay.
Every and then Wednesday.
Wednesday, and you're live on Facebook
yep.
when you do it.
Mm-hmm. At 12:12.
12:12.
Nice.
Okay.
Or a little after.
All right.
12:12.
All right. So so Penny, you know, those will recognize her voice, that she has a 3-minute program here on WCNO that plays around the clock at various times. And her program is Pursuing Prayer for America. Mm. And she's written a book of the same name, Pursuing Prayer for America, 21 Battle Cries for Our Nation. So I know that this is near and dear to her heart, yes. The history of the nation and how important it is to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And Dell is an author as well, and she wrote a book called Walking in a Minefield.
Wow.
A Sojourner's Guide to Overcoming Life's Obstacles. And so mm-hmm. both of them, intercessors, prayer warriors, mm-hmm. and very powerful women of God, that we're just so happy to have you guys here.
Happy to be here.
Yes.
Amen. And so Penny, in your book, you dedicated your book to the brave, strong men and women who risk all to leave Europe to come to America for the sake of religious and other freedoms, mm-hmm. and to the God of the Bible, who was the reason they came, and who bless this land, and to all those who selflessly served, fought, and died to maintain her freedoms ever since. And we vow to keep praying and keep fighting for her freedoms.
Amen.
So, amen. So that's right on with...
And thank you, Karen, for your service.
Oh. Amen. Amen. A lot of times I forget, but it was interesting and it was fun and I enjoyed it. And so I wanted to say this. I wanted to introduce you guys with this because it'll kind of set maybe the direction we're going in.
Mm-hmm.
So Dell's book, one of the forewords, blurbs in the book is, "What a timely book Dell has written. Many of us have seen the result of our ignorance in fighting the spiritual war that surrounds us. We didn't engage in the fight, and we became victims of the plans of the enemy. One of our biggest foes is passivity." Mm-hmm. Dell opens our eyes to the reality of the battle and encourages us to engage. Victory is ours if we do. And that was from Sherry Anderson, the Florida state leader of Aglow International. And to me, as soon as I read that, I thought this is just perfect because, you know, as believers, you know, our prayer life is what helps us through,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of people don't pray. A lot of people leave the prayer up to the intercessors.
Mm-hmm.
But each one of us is called, and the Lord has given us all the tools for us to overcome.
Amen.
And Dell lays that out very nicely in her book. But it was like when I read that, and then I read Penny's the introduction and or her dedication in her book, I just saw this is where we're at in our nation right now as believers. We got to pull it together individually, get with the Lord, and find out what he wants you to do. And Philippians 4:9 says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you."
Amen.
So the Lord is calling us to account in the nation. Many people don't want to be involved in politics. We've been taught in church that, well, you know, that's them, that's the world. We're over here in the church, and we're just doing our thing, which is true to a degree. But we live here.
Mm-hmm.
We live in this nation. We live in our counties and our cities. And if we do not engage in the community at every level, then who's going to be making the decisions?
Right.
And we're coming to a place where we have to fight.
Yeah.
We have to fight. But what's happening is we're fighting against each other in the church,
right. Yeah.
You know, with those that don't want to be involved and those that are trying to be involved. To make change. We're not trying to convert the nation to be, you know, everybody has to be a Christian. No, it's for the way that the government was set up is that just how Jesus came to us individually. It was for freedom that he set us free. And our government system was set up so that every man could have freedom.
Yeah.
Whatever you practice. But the rules are the rules. Just as God has rules in his kingdom, our nation was set up so that every man can be free to live his or her life without interference from the government. But I just feel so here's Dell with giving us the instruction how to overcome and how to have that victory in Christ. And then here's Penny with her book. How to implement and how to go ahead and use what you've learned and get involved and make a difference. And our prayers make a difference.
Amen.
So with that, I'll let you guys just...
You could start.
Well, you know, you're talking about being involved versus not being involved and thinking that it's separate, and it really isn't. God is the God of the universe, and he is the God of our world. He created it. And if we don't look to him and involve him in our affairs, well, just look around. We're trying to do it without him. You know, how's that going for us? Why would we not want the principles that are in the Bible? Just look at the Ten Commandments. Why would we not want honoring parents, not committing adultery? Does anyone want their spouse to cheat on them? We need to be teaching these things. Anyone want false witness against them? We shall not kill. We shall not steal. What is wrong with that? We'd be crazy not to want these things taught, and yet they're not. And we're trying to separate ourselves from the God who created us and gave us this great nation.
That's right. Amen. And I think the bottom line right now, you've talked a lot about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I believe is we need to seek the heart of God. We need to seek the heart of God. Father, what do you want? How do you want us to pray? Mm-hmm. I mean, just to tell people to go and pray, which Penny and I just had on our last show, we talked a lot about prayer. But it's like a lot of people don't know what is prayer. How do I do it? How do I get there? And it's truly conversation with God. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's taking religion out of the word prayer.
Amen.
And it's conversation into the word prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then just seeking God's heart. It's like, how do you want to pray? What is on your heart, Lord, that you want us to pray and bring to you? And then we wait upon him. And we watch God move, which we are doing right now through the president. We're watching him move in the steps and the hand of God to bring and dedicate our nation back to him, because that's where we need to be. We've fallen so far away. We need to come back to God.
Amen.
That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think many do.
Yeah, right?
I'm not alone.
In the warfare against, people hate him. People can't stand him.
Right.
Because they can't stand God, because they hate God. I'm not comparing Trump to God, but God is using him to make a point. And, and I'll say that in 2016 or 2015, before he even ran for president, I heard the Holy Spirit say that Donald Trump is going to be a mirror to the nation of America, and that God was going to hold him up like a mirror. So whatever you see when you look into the mirror, when you look into him, that's what you're going to see. And the vitriol and the hatred and all the horrible, nasty stuff that is said about him, that's your own heart. You have to see that it's God is exposing your own heart to you and the heart of the nation.
Wow.
And if we do not, if we don't recognize it, God is moving. God is speaking to the nation.
Yes.
And it's, just don't look at him. Look at what God is saying. You have to see in the spirit. You've got to see it in the spirit. And prayer, the word tells us to pray for those in authority over us.
Amen.
So that we can live a peaceful life.
Right.
If you don't have a peaceful life, what's going on?
Right.
Why do you not live a peaceful life?
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. Pray for your leaders. You don't have to like them. You don't have to love them. You don't have to agree with anything they do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you pray for them, the Lord says, pray for your enemies. Imagine all the Trump haters, if they prayed for him, God is really going to change your heart and move your own heart.
Nothing good comes from the negativity and the disdain for him. Nothing good comes from it.
Right. I was going to share back when he first got in, we were all rejoicing. But the Lord showed me it's not time to stop. And I don't know why the Lord just brought this right this minute, but I had a dream right after he got in. And I had this dream that I was in the White House, which I've only been in there once, was in the White House, and they took me. There were two men that greeted me at the door, and they took me all the way down this long hall. And I'm like, where am I going? They took me down the long hall, and all of a sudden, I was there in the Oval Office. They brought me in the Oval Office, and Trump was sitting behind. I still remember him with his blue suit and his red tie. He was sitting behind the desk, and he called me over to his side, and all he said was, please pray for me. Mm-hmm. Do not stop praying. And this was his first term. Yes. Do not stop praying for me. And I remember we started a prayer call at that time because my friend Michelle said, Del, you can't stop the prayer call. We have to pray for him now more than ever. Looking back, that is what, 7, 8 years ago? Now we see why he already knew somehow what the road was going to be. Mm-hmm. And that's what he said, don't stop praying for me.
Wow. And I had that same, well, I had a similar dream during that time, during my time of intercession. And the Lord put me right in the Oval Office.
Wow.
And he said, pray from that place. You know, pray from that place. You know, recall that same desk. So many sat behind that same desk.
Right.
So many wrote when needed to be written.
Right.
The chair, everything involving in that room, you know, the people. That were gathered. It was like, pray from that place.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, I was like, wow, you're giving, you know, that's like a big thing. Like,
yes.
So you have to break it down. But I felt the power, the love, the urgency from
the
that
urgency,
place of those that sat behind that, you know, go from that place. And
And that's knowing the heart of God then, because that's the heart of God telling you, this is what I want you to do.
And that place, that the history of it, like you were saying, all the people that sat at that desk and the things they did. Foundation.
And, you know, our country is of the people, for the people, and by the people. And I just, you know, I think about President Bukele of El Salvador. Is it El Salvador, right? Bukele? Nobody knows. Anyway, that nation was in shambles. And then he's a Christian man. They elected him. But he's humbly submitted to the Lord and to his people. And that nation has completely, it used to be the murder capital of the world. And that is, that's where that prison is, you know, where they were going to send some people. But that country has been completely turned around. He's a humble servant of God, and he knows that he's there for the people. The people are the ones who let him know, you know, what they're asking. America, we always talk about that. You know, it's up to us. It's what we want. We're governed by, you know, we have representatives. But if we are not giving them what we, everybody is grumbling about what they want. I want this. I want this. So, you know, but what does God want? What does God want for the nation? What was his original intent for America? In the, you know.
His principles work.
They do.
His commandments work.
They do. Yeah. So, Penny, in your book on page 58, you have a quote from George Washington on his Thanksgiving Day proclamation. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favors.
So that's prayer.
How do you implore? You implore by praying. Praying and asking.
Mm-hmm.
And
we are in a spiritual war. We are walking in a minefield, as Del's title of her book.
That's right.
And, you know, people don't understand, and that's okay, but get a hold of this, that we are in a spiritual war. Mm-hmm. And Satan, our enemy, does not like the principles of God.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want one nation under the God of the universe who created us. He wants to tear us as far away from that as possible. And that's the battle we're in. And if we don't engage in it in prayer, the other thing is knowing God's word and knowing the Constitution, knowing our history. We engage.
I just want to say that it's the manifest presence of God is that something in the sensory realm that is changing the emotion in our country, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yes.
I know we're supposed to walk in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lusts of our flesh, and flesh has a lot to do with emotion, but the emotion of this country is really changing.
And I think even in the colleges, we're seeing what's going on in the colleges, how they're having revival. And it's like, what does Jesus say? The children shall lead them. The children shall lead them. And that's why, like, I'm on a Thursday night prayer call. We really begin to pray for the children. We need to pray for the youth. We need to pray for them. When the move of the Spirit comes, not to worry how, what, when, where, just to go in that flow of the Spirit and allow the Spirit to lead, because the youth are having baptisms and salvations. And think about it, going home then and sharing with their parents. And, you know, there's nothing like the move of the Holy Spirit. It's like the wind. You can't contain it.
Right.
You just flow in it, and that's it.
And what I'm thinking as you're all saying that is that Satan doesn't want those good emotions. And look at how emotional he's making people in the negative sense. Angry, hateful, disdain towards our leader. And okay, we don't have to like them. We don't have to love them. But look beyond what you see, because there's a lot going on that we don't see. And
And righteousness really does exalt a nation, as it says. But in this time, it's a real time of reconnection and communion with God.
And we may not have a president that you may not think he knows the Lord. He's coming along. We can't judge that.
True.
But he is for the things of God. He is not against it. And praise God for that. You know, the Bible says that God can turn the king's heart wherever he chooses, and he's turning Donald Trump's heart.
And it's true. It's like we don't know his exact heart, but we are hearing from his mouth what he is believing. And I can't wait to hear whatever he is going to say on that day. You know? And I this is just what I believe, is that when he opens his mouth and he speaks what he's supposed to speak, I just see like a flood coming out that is going to cover the nation.
Yes, Jesus.
Because it's coming from the head.
Yes.
You know, and what does it always say? You have, you know, if you want to do anything, you have to start with the top. You start with the head. In a church, you start with the pastor. In school, you start with the principal. You start with the head. And then it goes down and drizzles down to the rest. So what will come out of his mouth, we're going to believe is directed by the Lord and then set as a flow through the nation.
Amen. All right. I think that we're going to just take a quick break so that we can kind of shift. And we will be back in just a couple of minutes.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Hello, friends. This is Jonathan McClain, General Manager. WCNO just completed two awesome weeks of fundraising. We're very close to raising the six-month operational budget. If you have not yet given, please send in your donation today. And thank you so much for your generous support over the last 36 years and your continued support at this time. Many blessings.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Okay, we're back. And again, we're here today with Penny Cook and Del Bates as our special guests. It's really great to have you guys here.
Thank you.
So, feel free to just continue with whatever the Lord's put on your heart.
You were just saying that we're on the brink of revival. No, you were saying we're in revival, and I think we're at the brink of revival.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think this is a really critical time that if we're not praying, we're not going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer moves the hand of God, and it calls down his power and his will. And, of course, it is his will for all men to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a part in that.
That's right.
We have a part, and our main part is prayer. And we take it so casually. Leave it, I think you said it earlier, leave it to the intercessors, you know, leave it to the prayer warriors. No, we're all told to pray. Pray for our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for our nation. And we need to be doing it. We need to be teaching our children to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If our children don't understand, this is how what I've been seeing lately, that if they're not taught our history, if they're not taught to pray for our country, we're losing it for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have it. They're not going to live as adults in the country they're living in as kids. It's up to us. It's up to us to pray. It's up to us to teach the next generation. And it's being lost. And if we don't rein it in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think it goes all the way back. You know, we go back to the Old Testament and you think about Joshua. You know, what did they do when they brought them over? They brought them over. They got the stones, and they had the stones, and the kids would ask, what are the stones for? The stones were for remembrance of what they did, and that's what they said, that the generations will know.
Mm-hmm.
And Penny's right. If it's not taught, they don't know. If they're getting what's in the school books, well, then they're not getting what we got. It's a whole different world.
Exactly. Nanette, what were you just sharing during the break about meeting some young people?
Yeah, you know, I had met a teacher from one of the schools in Port St. Lucie, and I just asked him, you know, like, what does he see the problem, or how can I pray? You know, I was just asking him as far as the kids that he comes in contact with and he teaches, And, you know, it was a surprise to me because I thought he was going to say, as usual, you know, identity, you know, drugs and sexual immorality, you know, the things that we are already aware of. And he hit me with just the household and how it was the parents, the family's instabilities, the family's doubt, the family's disorder, the you know, just the dynamics of that family members not dealing with their things, you know, as far as praying to the Lord and giving it to the Lord. And so they're seeing really just an infiltration of the world system.
It's
and
the lack
not
of God.
System. Yeah, yeah. In that. And so, and then I went to an FCA event and three of the kids that came up to me personally for prayer, my heart broke because here they are. They have found Christ, and they're willing to follow him. And their burden is my parents, my family, my other siblings that don't believe. Can you pray for them? Can you pray that they will come to know Jesus and follow Jesus with me? And it was just so precious to see. I mean, I was just, I was looking at their faces, and they were so sincere, so sincere that all they wanted is just their household to be saved, their household to be put in order, their household to move according to God's plans and will for their life, the safetiness of that, the security of that Christ brings. You know, over time, you see this place when, you know, meetings and people gathered of the faith, mind you, that came to this conclusion, like, we can take bits and pieces of his word and leave Jesus out. Not that I'm against psychology or any of these things, but we make counseling, right, and all of these methods, but we left Christ out, and we've pulled, you know, different religions pull the word of God, but don't give credit to the creditor, to the founder, to the creator, you know? And so we're seeing again more and more that the precious cornerstone that was rejected before is still rejected in so many ways, and yet not acknowledged that he is the capstone. So if we leave the cornerstone and the capstone in the building, what kind of structure do we
have?
Is
exactly,
from the home, from the nation, and so on, globally, internationally. And so we need the cornerstone in its rightful place, and we need the capstone in order to build a solid foundation. So the gates of hell do not prevail against it.
That house built on the rock with a capital R.
And you know what I hear in you talking, too, is what I hear is that the children, the kids, have got it. They would not, you, what you receive is what you always want to give. They have received that peace. They have received that joy. They have received it, and they want their parents to feel the same thing. They see what their parents are going through. They may see them arguing in the home. This is wrong. That's home. But they're trying to say, there's a better way. And that's what they want for their parents. I mean, what a wonderful thing. You know?
Amen. You know, if I always have to make mention that I spend a lot of time on social media. But, you know, I've been noticing the parents that are teaching their children how to pray. You know, you've got these 4 and 5 year old kids who pray better than many adults that I know. And they get it. They understand. They don't have any of the baggage that the adults have. And these kids, they know the Holy Spirit. They know when God is speaking to them. And they pray as if their lives depended on it. And so it's
faith of a little child.
That's
Penny, it's just book. So, That's Penny's book, the
Wake Up Prayer.
So talk about that, since we mentioned it, about the kids.
Children's book to teach kids to pray for their day. You know, a lot of times we pray at night with the kids, and Now I lay me down to sleep. This is now I wake me up from sleep.
Right. Yeah, then you're prepared for the day and you can meet the challenges.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Again, just covering everything in prayer.
Yes. We need to have like a national prayer movement.
Mm,
but
yes.
Before I say anything about that, back when President Trump was running for the first time, he met with all those pastors. Do you remember that?
Right.
He met with a group of pastors. And Lance Wall now happened to be in that area. And he got dragged into the meeting. And the Lord had given him a word for President Trump. But he said the thing that baffled him was President Trump, when he was in the room with all the pastors, he asked all of those pastors, how come you guys have all these different denominations? And how come you guys are all not on the same page?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, basically he was saying, what would it take for you guys to get on the same page? Wow. You know, so from someone who is either a nominal believer or not even a believer, mm-hmm. to notice that, you know, why are you guys, mm-hmm. why can't you guys get along?
It sounds like a child.
Yeah.
That's what a child would say. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Why
do
you need to make the main thing the main thing?
Exactly.
You know, we see all these arguments on social media, not just political ones, but religious ones. Oh, no, this verse meant that, and you left this mm-hmm. out, or you misquoted that. Let's keep the main thing the main thing.
Absolutely.
Salvation through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. to save us from our sins.
Mm-hmm.
The rest,
that's it.
You know, we're right. all different. Right. We all have different personalities and background, mm-hmm. and feelings and all that gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably always going to interpret things differently. Mm-hmm. But keep the main thing the main thing.
It's I listen to Penny. I don't know why food always comes to me, but it's
getting near noontime. We're hungry.
We always go there, but it's like a meal, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving. The first thing is always like, what are you going to make? And you always think of the main, are you going to make a steak? Are you going to mm-hmm. make a rib roast? Are you going to make ham?
Yeah.
What is the main thing? And then everyone else brings, we do our Word Weavers Christmas, then everyone else brings all their little things together.
Yeah.
But it's all one meal.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone prepares it probably the way their mother prepared it,
right.
the way their grandmother prepared mm-hmm. it. So you're bringing all this together to the table.
Yeah.
So it's the same with religion. It's the same with Christianity. The main thing is having Jesus in the center of the table mm-hmm. for what he did for each of us.
Amen.
And then everyone has all these little beliefs or sayings around.
I love
you know?
It. I love it.
I know.
You're talking my language. Sorry. I get excited about those. I'm the kid. You know, I'm the kid that loves it. That's a perfect picture
mm-hmm.
of keeping the main thing, and
right.
it's Christ, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. Yeshua HaMashiach.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, and nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And making sure that I'm thinking about the roast or the ham or whatever the main dish is, and you can mm-hmm. leave it in your refrigerator and never cook it.
Mm.
Or you can take it and cook it and baste it and mm. put the spices on it or whatever and make it delicious and tender.
Mm.
What have you done with your faith?
Mm.
Have you tenderized it?
Have you tenderized it? Have you seasoned it?
Mm.
Or is it sitting in the refrigerator in the cold and in the dark?
Mm.
I think of the movie, A Great Awakening.
Oh.
If anyone has not gone to see it, run, do not walk to go see it. And bring your tissues. Bring your tissues and your kids, yeah.
Yes.
Not because it's sad, but because it's just so moving and touching. But, you know, it made reference to dead religion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And a lot of us are in dead religion. Wow. I grew up believing. I grew up going to church. I grew up even reading the Bible. But I didn't know Jesus Christ. And I wonder if there's anyone listening that maybe you're just, you think you're okay because you have religion.
Or you're doing good.
Or you're doing good,
like Benjamin Franklin.
Yes, thank you for adding that.
Yeah.
He thought he was a good person and he was just, you know, all that. But nope. It's that salvation in Jesus Christ and just believing. Maybe that's not quite enough for real active faith.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's got to be something alive and active with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And that's what George Whitefield did. He brought the spirit. And
but he stuck to the main thing, which was always the gospel message, Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would love to go into the movie, but I do not want to ruin it. But there's so much in that movie that even will bring the person watching to their own life, to things that they've gone through in their life. You'll be like, wow, I tried that. I did that. And then you realize it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's all about Jesus and what he did.
Yes.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the life giver, you know, like, gosh, for you to bring the dead religion, like, what, 9 minutes before we close? That's a big, I mean, we can go different directions, but no matter what, he brings dead things to life.
Amen.
And that's the bottom line. And that's, you know, even right now, just the opportunity. I don't know, Karen, if you want to use this time to pray or how you're being led, but, you know.
Well, you know, I was telling Penny yesterday that in October of 2023, the Lord said, unite the intercessors.
Mm-hmm.
Flood the airwaves with prayer.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Decree and declare the plans and purposes of God.
Hallelujah.
For the Treasure Coast and beyond. Because the Lord says, my body needs to hear what the intercessors are hearing from the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to hear it being prayed out to give them hope, strength, and encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we can enter into a time of prayer. And, you know, Penny, in your book, the prayer that had stood out to me was the one, defend.
Mm-hmm.
And, Penny has, this has been on the air, I believe, is one of your ones that we have rotating around. But if you would just read that prayer, because I think it's going to encompass all that we've been talking about.
Amen.
So these prayers are all scripture, praying scripture for our nation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, we praise you because you are a God of strength and mercy, and you are our defender. Heavenly Father, we are disturbed about all that's going on in America and our world. Our troubles seem to go from bad to worse. Mm-hmm. Please save us. Who will rise up for us against the wicked? Who will defend us against evildoers? We have no one but you. You've been our refuge and strength, our very present help in America's troubles. Please answer us again in this our day of distress and defend us. Be our shield as we take refuge in you. Lord, you've been our God since the foundation of America. Have our sins brought us to an end? May we see your approval again, and may our children see your awesome power. Father, our confidence is in you and not man. Rescue us and defend us from those who want to destroy our nation, those who conceive mischief, evil, and lies. They dig a pit for us. May they fall into it themselves. Lord, be with those who are for us, for our country, and for you, and cause them to succeed. Lord, our trust is in you and you only, for with you all things are possible. It is for you we wait. You are our strength and our defense. O God of mercy, come. Let all whose strength is in you see victory over our enemies. In the name of Jesus, our defender. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it pretty much encapsulates yes. what we've been talking about this hour. So we've just got about 4.5 minutes left. Sean, do you have anything you want to add?
Well, just the other day, you sent a text to everybody with, you know, what you would like to see for today. And then you ended the text with the symbols of a dove and fire. And then you said, expansion is here. And as soon as you said that, in my consciousness, in my thought processes, I had a merismos, a dividing asunder. I started to walk in that spirit realm and see something that the expansion that's here, it comes with extension. It's heavenly material being poured out and laid out before us. It is that substance. Faith is the substance of what we hope for. And what we hope for is what God really wants to give us. Amen. And these prayers that we've been praying in hope, we're putting faith, you know, as the substance to that hope. But what does this expansion look like? I want to tell you what the expansion and the extension of it all looks like. We've had church, we've played church, we've tried to become the church, but we're going from a one-man show to a corporate anointing, and this has to become our apostolic mentality of understanding. That's why we pray for spiritual wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. It's so that we know the hope to which we're called to recognize what that glorious inheritance is and the exceeding greatness of God's power, because Jesus carries the weight of governance, and we are becoming not just the church playing church or having church, we are becoming the governing church, the body of Christ, a corporate anointing in the earth that's being poured out. That's why the emotion in our country is changing. I mean, we're being preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord in our spirit, our soul, and our body, the whole man, the whole man, the whole body of Christ, the whole church. And Jesus is the head of the church. That's why it says in Ephesians 3:19, you know, we believe God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, think, imagine, or desire, according to the power that's at work in us right now. This is a world without end, and Jesus is the head of the church.
Amen.
And where the head goes, the body follows.
Amen.
Corporately.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for that. And again, as I had mentioned earlier, Philippians 4:9, where the Apostle Paul is saying, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice.
Amen.
And the God of peace will be with you. So the Lord is calling us to just look back over your life and think of all the things that God has spoken to you. I was doing this over the weekend, thinking about all the stuff. You know, I can remember every scripture that the Lord spoke to me. I have it memorized, chapter and verse. So those are the things that He's given me over my lifetime, my Christian life. And He's saying, take all of those things now and put them into practice and use your faith, because we're entering into a time where we are going to literally walk by faith and not by sight. And so I just encourage everyone to get in the Word, get into prayer. And I think that we're going to have you guys back and continue on, because we haven't even really talked about what we were going to talk about. We did a little bit. But anyway, thank you so much, Penny and Del, for coming. And we will have you back again. Thanks. Thank you, Sean and Nanette, and we will see everybody next week. Have a great week. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.